Good morning. Welcome back to the God School. We are in the book of Galatians. We started this series titled Grace, Galatians, God. This book is so intricate in understanding the gospel, the grace of Christ. Martin Luther said he was married to the book of Galatians. It is foundational to the reformation of the Church of Jesus Christ. Why do we call it, we use the term reformation, It's a reformation. Why? Because the church had gotten off the mark. They took their eyes off of God and what He, in Christ Jesus, had done for us, and returned to the law. So important is this book. This last week I was talking to a friend who has been a long time in the faith, and I said, as many years as you have been in the church, how many messages have you heard out of the book of Galatians? And he said, oh, that was an oddball church. I said, oddball church? It was the opportunity for God to present His gospel, His grace to us, as opposed to the traditions of men. And he said, oh yeah, that's an oddball letter. Now, I'm not coming after this man, but his statements were representative of the church. I mean, Paul says, in the third chapter, the third verse, are ye so foolish to this church that he had founded, delivering to them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and with rejoicing they received Christ. And they, as we, received Him by faith. And Paul says in the third verse of the third chapter, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, the gift of God to us? Are ye now made perfect in the flesh? He asks another question earlier. He said, this only would I learn of you. Let's get down to brass tacks. Let's get down to the foundation. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Romans 10 says, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. When you see God's performance and you see He forgets not any of His promises, but He, God, does all that He says He will do. When you see He is faithful, then faith comes. You say, oh, not like a man. He's one I can put my trust in. He's one I can put my confidence in. The 118th Psalm says, it's better to trust in God than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in God than to put confidence in princes. The Hebrew word there means men, for princes, means men who seem to be somewhat. In this wonderful second chapter of Galatians, the term is used twice in the sixth verse. Paul, having been taught for 3 years personally by Christ Jesus, wherein he was able to unfold so many of the Old Testament truths in the New Testament, or in the gospel, or in the grace of God, tells a story after he was preaching for 14 years, he went up to Jerusalem again. And this, to give you the context, is recounted in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. I just want to go there for a minute. To Acts 15. It says, certain men which came from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. These men, circumcision is a type of performance. It's a type of the law. And it says, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, it says they determined to go up to Jerusalem. This was the reason for this visit recount in Galatians 2. And they came to meet with the church at Jerusalem and the elders thereof. And it says in the seventh verse, and when there had been much disputing, oh, the church, that heavenly body, wherein peace reigns, we think of that early New Testament church as, you know, saints of God, and, you know, no error would come out of their mouth, or no error would come in their performance. And it clearly says in this 15th chapter that there was much disputing, that there was no small dissension or disputation. There was big arguments going on, folks. Big arguments. Peter, to his credit, stands and gives an argument in support of the gospel, which Paul preached. If you go on and read the rest of that 15th chapter, this guy James, reputed brother of the Lord, what he was, the scripture is really not clear. And even if we were able through scripture to discern who exactly this guy was in terms of familial relationship with God, it wouldn't offer any edification to the gospel. But if you read the rest of this 15th chapter, they say, yeah, by grace are you saved, but... And he adds some performance of the Levitical laws found in the 17th and 18th chapter of Leviticus. He wants to add that as though the grace of God is not sufficient to save. And in the historical presentation of the New Testament, this disputing, this no small dissension, this disputation, continued throughout Paul's life, wherein in his final letter he says, all Asia has forsaken me. Only Luke is with me. But thanks be to God, Paul's letters, his arguments, his philosophy, his unfolding of the truths of God dominate the New Testament of the Bible. But few have the guts to well, you know, we all can spend time in it, but few have the guts, the courage to teach and preach and proclaim the truths which are contained therein, as opposed to going along with our gang and accepting traditions of men in the place of the Word of God. Now, last week, we presented together many of the arguments of Paul, which proclaim our righteousness, which God's Word proclaims, our righteousness through faith and not of works, as opposed to that one sect from that guy, James, whomever he was, and whoever it was that wrote that letter that we find in the Bible, called the Book of James, and we showed the opposition in the two arguments, that there is no reconciling that which is proclaimed in that book of James as opposed to all that Paul put forward. And yet, expressed by this friend I spoke of earlier, in this letter of Galatians, oh, that was an oddball church. Oh, that was an oddball letter. And dismiss it out of hand. I'm not dismissing it. And I'm here to proclaim the gospel, the grace of Christ, unto you who have not by accident, but by God's grace, have come to tune in to the God School. I want to back up a little bit. I want to go to this last part of the second chapter of Galatians. We taught on it last week, but you know, repeating is good for me, and repeating the truths of God is good for you, because I have to tell you, all that we are, in all our knowledge, in all our understandings, in all our reasonings, we can be fooled by our reasonings as opposed to grasping the truth of God's Word. 16th verse says, knowing that a man is not righteousified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be righteousified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And Paul goes on, but if, while we seek to be righteousified in Christ, not by, the word in the Greek is in, not by Christ, but in Christ, that's where God, in the operation of the gospel, places us when we operate by faith, that is, acting on God's promises, that is, grabbing hold of God's word with such confidence that we know His word is more real than anything that we might see, feel, or experience in this life that somehow might suggest other than God's word being true. He says, but if, while we seek to be righteousified in Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Paul asks the question, is therefore Christ minister of sin? King James translates it, God forbid. The literal is, absolutely, certainly not. Is Christ the minister of sin? Absolutely, certainly not. He goes on, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Let's go on. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You know, Jesus was a faith. God made a promise to him that if he would do certain things, that God would raise him up and give him a name which is above every name. And on that promise, Jesus, the creative agent of the world. It says, by whom all things were created, in the letter of Hebrews, submitted himself to the flesh, and he became kind, part of our family, the creator joined his creation, which is a most amazing miracle, and provide for us that which we could not provide for ourselves. God's grace. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, in this third message, in this series, Grace, Galatians, and God, Paul opens the Galatian letter in the third verse of the first chapter. He says, "Grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." In the sixth verse of the first chapter, Paul says, "I marvel, I'm astonished that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ." The grace of Christ unto another gospel. He's saying that the grace of Christ is equal to the gospel. In the ninth verse of the second chapter, he says, "And when James and Cephas," that's Peter and John, "who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision." The grace, we call it unmerited favor. It also talks about a substance, something substantial. We could use the same synonym. We could say the power, the substance, the life that was given me. When they perceived it, they gave us the right hand of fellowship. Now we come to a key verse in this subject of grace. King James translates the 21st verse of the second chapter, and he says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Just for a moment, I want to look at this word. The King James translators translate frustrate. The word is athetio. Athetio in the Greek. And what it means is to do away with, to set aside, to disregard, to thwart the efficacy, to thwart the efficacy, to nullify, make void, frustrate, to reject, to refuse, to slight. Paul says, "I do not do away with, I do not disregard, I do not nullify, I do not make void, I do not reject, I do not refuse the grace of God." For if righteousness come by the law, that is, by my performance, then Christ is dead in vain. The same word is found in the Gospel of Luke, in the 10th chapter, 16th verse. He says, "He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despises," not frustrate, "despises you," despises, athetio, "me." And he that despises, same word, me, despises him that sent me. I, Paul says, do not despise the grace of God. In the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, 48th verse, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. Same word. He that reject. Paul says, I do not reject the grace of God. And for 2,000 years, those who have been called into the grace of God have had the traditions of men. It says in Mark 7:9, and he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Traditions. Make the word of God of none effect. They reject God. They despise God's word that they might keep their own traditions. And the nakedness, the unveiling of the gospel which Paul says, for I am not, in Romans 1, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. He could say, for I am not ashamed of the grace of God, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And yet, all too often, in the church, traditions are taught in place of the Word of God. The story, the context, the gestalt, that is the full view of the New Testament, was, and it's called the New Testament. There is an Old Testament, and by no means would I ever reject the Old Testament, for in it, God, there is so much gospel. But what dominated the Old Testament was the law, wherein God said, if a man kept the law, he should live forever. Leviticus 18. But the requirement of the law was that he had to keep it 100%. He had to keep it perfectly. He had to keep it personally. He had to keep it perpetually. And then he would live. And the law was an expression of God's righteousness. And was designed to show man his inability, his short fallen condition when compared to the law, an expression of God's righteousness. And the New Testament, the good news, the good spiel, the good speaking God came and provided another way wherein man can not only relate to God, but have an eternal relationship with God in Christ Jesus. And we, in the flesh, are having this relationship by faith. And Paul says, I don't reject the grace. I do not despise the grace of God. It's the only hope. Let me make this personal, folks. It's the only hope I have. God has, through His Word, by His Spirit, convinced me. No other way than by the gospel, than by the grace of Christ. Paul goes on. To again speak of the law, he says in the 10th verse of the 3rd chapter, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. That's all the law could do. It could not bend down and help us, because in doing so then it would compromise itself. Read this week that 7th chapter of the book of Romans, where it says, by the law did I become aware of sin. And Paul, not writing a biography, he was writing in real time when he was writing the Romans, which was long into his ministry, he describes the two natures that those who are in Christ have. He describes the one, the law of sin in me. He comes to that conclusion. And he cries and he says, but he says in the 22nd verse, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, which is of God, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And he cries and he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? For God's word says, for sin comes death. And he recognized that truth. And he responds and he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. It's no chapter and verse in the original manuscripts. He immediately says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Tenth verse, third chapter, Galatians. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Why was that done? That no man is righteousified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident for, and this is the central theme of Galatians. It's a central theme of the book of Romans. It's the essential theme of the book of Hebrews. It is a message out of the Old Testament that God told Habakkuk to put in stone the just, the righteous, by faith shall live. And we live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and he gave himself for us. And the law is not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, which is all the law could do for us, curse us. How did he redeem us? He became a curse for us. He became a curse over us. He who was God in the flesh, who lived the only perfect life in the law, not condemned of the law, but for us, became a curse. How? He took all our sins upon himself. And was crucified for us. And the Christian says, or comes to the understanding that in fact we were crucified. As Christ died, so we died. But the rest of the story is that God raised him up, and that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead shall enliven and give life, that we might live a life of faith to those who are trusting God. And the church, are there exceptions? Praise God. Yes, there are. But the evidence is such that the church does preach the grace of God, and like at that first church council, they put a but in there. And they say, you know, you show me your faith, I'll show you my works. What are we going to do when, as every one of us will face Christ, are we going to stand there and say, oh, look at us, Jesus, look what we have done for you. Look what we did. And the answer is found in the Gospels, and he says, be gone from me, I never knew you. But we, elect by grace, will stand before Christ, being ever thankful, being always grateful for the gospel, for the grace of Christ, for the unmerited favor wherein, for faith, for trusting God and His Word, for coming to the understanding that this, which represents eternal life, is the sole and exclusive work of God, and He does it through unmerited favor. And by the will and grace of God, we shall pick this teaching up next time. For now, that's the God School.